As promised last week, Carolyn Jasinski is back to report on her two-week voyage aboard Oceania's Serena. Carolyn was on board with husband Rick, and she was engaged by the cruise line as an enrichment speaker, en route from Miami to the British Virgin Islands, the Caribbean, and Spain's Gran Canaria and Tenerife Islands. These are places she's never sailed before. I snuck in this interview with Carolyn on the weekend before she took off on yet another reporting assignment. Unbelievable, this girl. Anyway, this time she is within Australia, so I can at least get her on the phone. Well, for someone who travels as much as she does, it's quite unusual being a virgin. Firstly, a virgin on the particular vessel she's chosen to travel with, a different cruise line. Also, a virgin in the terms of the destinations. I'll let Carolyn explain how virginal she is in terms of this trip, but she's just back, literally just back from the other side of the earth. How are you?
Oh, really good. I'm still a tiny bit jet-lagged, believe it or
not.
Kidding. It was it really hit me hard. I think the cruise line flew us. It was Oceania, and they flew us to Miami from Adelaide in South Australia.
That's a big flight.
It was a big flight. It was 35 hours on the way over and 38 on the way back.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty hard yakka when you're talking, you know, six-hour layovers in a couple of places along the way back. But
yeah.
But it was really worthwhile. It's a long way to go,
yep.
But it was a new cruise line for me, Oceania. And it's in that luxury range, which is just spectacular. And also new destinations for me. It was so exciting.
I guess that was the thing that helped you make it. You had to make a quick decision about this because it was a speaking opportunity for you, and you've become a bit of a guru in that area. You're certainly showing other journos the way.
Look, it's so much fun.
Mm.
And it's a bit like when I started doing podcasts and radio interviews, that you get the whole story summed up in, you know, 12 to 15 minutes or
yep.
More like 20 when I get
talking. Depends how we're going, yeah.
But the cruise ship speaking is just so much fun, and it's lovely having a captive audience. They can't get away. Well, they can. They can clear out if the sun shines and bingo's on. They don't arrive. But it was actually a really lovely tiny ship.
How many passengers?
670 it takes,
okay.
And we had 570 on board.
So is it an expedition class vessel? Smaller or not? A big one?
No, it's when we're on board, it feels like it's about two-thirds the width of the Queen Elizabeth, if that makes sense, which she takes about 1,200 guests.
Okay.
So it was big enough to cross the Atlantic Ocean without a problem.
Yep.
I was a little bit dubious thinking, oh, it's a tiny ship. Is it going to be rocky going across the Atlantic? But it was really, it was fine. It was lovely. And it was nice having a small ship with the kind of people on board were just so engaged with all the cruise ship lecturers, and everything on board was toned down. So there was one production show a night, whether that was the entertainment team or comedians or magicians or a singer. Instead of the usual two scheduled shows, there was just the need for one. So it was just a different kind of cruising, if you like.
And you spoke last week to a Melbourne-based dancer who's got a contract on that ship.
Yes, that was Michelle Andrusenko.
Mm, that's good.
So she was just a breath of fresh air. She was gorgeous.
Mm.
Really young and enthusiastic and, you know, following her dream to dance around the world.
Mm.
And she's... Sorry, go on.
I was going to ask you, how many days was the cruise?
14 days.
So did you have to prepare 14 talks?
No. So there were three speakers on board. I had six prepared.
Okay.
With lots in backup that I, you know, could talk about. But you have to present your talks before you get on board. So you have to tell them what you're going to do. So I had six ready to go. I only had to do four in the end. So that was just really lovely. We had we left Miami, had 2 days at sea, then we had three islands, and then we had 6 days at sea, another island, another 2 days at sea, and then two more islands.
Of course, the ultimate destination for you and the lure of this was the Caribbean call, yeah?
Yes, I really wanted to see the Caribbean and Canary Islands.
Right.
So I knew nothing about them. The first island we got to was tiny, Jost Van Dyke it's called, as part of the British
Sounds
Virgin
Dutch.
Islands.
Yeah, right.
It's British, yeah. Okay. So there were there's apparently 60 islands in the British Virgin Islands part of the entire Virgin Islands, if that makes sense. There's some American. So this one, little Jost Van Dyke, is to the east of Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And it's this little yachting haven. So there were lots of yachts moored there. And apart from them, there was nothing. Beautiful
right.
beach.
Right.
Famous Foxy's Bar, where a lot of yachties go to live it up, and but very little else there. And that's the charm of it. People love it because there's nothing to do except relax and laze on beaches.
So did you hit the bar?
No, we went and saw the bar and had a quick drink and then just sat on the beach. We were watching these amazing pelicans. They were grey pelicans, and they were just dive bombing for fish. It was just really fascinating to watch, yeah.
Well, that sounds good. So where'd you go from there?
Dominica, which is this tiny island, not to be confused with Dominican Republic.
Right.
This was French and British influence, and we drove up to the mountains on a we took a ship tour.
Right.
For this one, I went river tubing, and it was just so much fun. We had a great local guide who told us all about the island and the French and British influence, and, you know, went river tubing, hopped in these big like truck tyres.
Yeah.
And
truck
just floated
the
down.
The tubes from
tubes.
Truck
tyres. Yes,
yeah.
Sorry, the tubes. And then went just sort of gliding down the river. It was pretty spectacular.
Was it warm, or did you have to put some
No, it was warm.
Okay,
yeah,
no wetsuits or anything required?
No wetsuits needed. They do it in the cooler months, but we didn't need it. It was just lovely.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
The rivers are low, apparently, so they've had droughts in the Caribbean and the Canary Islands for a couple of years.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, the river was down, so we kept getting this message saying bottoms up. And that meant you had to lift your bottom so that you didn't hit the rocks underneath.
Drag yourself across the rapids.
Yes. And then next island was Barbados, which was kind of underwhelming. It was shut for Easter Monday.
Right.
Not much to do there except walk around town. Some people went on a catamaran and went sailing. They had a magnificent day, but anyone who didn't go on a tour that day was a little bit underwhelmed by
Bay. Well, it is a cricket destination, Bridgetown, Barbados.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's, I could be wrong, but I think it's one of the West Indies draw cricketers from Barbados. So anyone who was a cricket fan would probably have gone to have a look at the Oval or something, you know, and
we did walk around town, and it was, look, it was pleasant.
Mm.
It was okay, but
it was shut.
I can't, it was shut, yeah, it was shut. Yeah. It was pretty coloured buildings and things like that, and you could see the British influence. I mean, it was settled by the Portuguese in the 1500s, but when the Brits arrived in 1625, it was all but deserted.
Right.
So, but it's been independent since 1966.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, a little bit underwhelming for us.
Fair enough. I mean, we think the Caribbean is a pretty exotic location, but there obviously are places within the islands that are perhaps just hometown.
Maybe. Yeah, we were expecting, you know, those steel guitars and
steel drums.
Yeah, you're just thinking that it was going to be all tropical and lovely, and it was just a bit kind of nothing. But
that's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, in a way, but then it's nice to see that and then to witness all that stuff yourself. I'm not sure that Dominica, as they call it, and Jost Van Dyke were probably the pick of the Caribbean islands, but it was really good to experience them.
Okay.
It's so good to see the other side.
Where did you head to then? You've crossed the Atlantic. You're in the...
We had 4 days at sea, giving more talks and eating way too much.
Okay.
We discovered during that time that the buffet had a grill section and they had lobsters.
Oh, are they the ones with the big claws? Different to ours?
No, they're not, no big claws, but these had beautiful big lobster tails.
Oh.
So we did manage to eat quite a few days at the grill.
How was your gout after that?
No gout.
No gout? That's good. Oh, I'm pleased to hear that.
I could recommend the lobster tails and the shrimp. Oh, my God, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Next stop, Cape Verde. And now this is off the coast of West Africa.
Yeah.
And it was settled by the Portuguese, but it's independent since 1975. So there's a really strong Latin flavour. This was probably one of the most amazing places that we stopped at. It's desolate. It's all volcanic.
Yeah.
And it's just completely barren but beautiful. I'm not sure where the Verde part comes, because doesn't that mean green? But
yes.
there was no green.
Maybe it was before the volcano went off.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
I have seen it on some of the sailors that I follow who are travelling around the world, including Aussies, have stopped in at Cape Verde. But, you know, they just want somewhere to safely anchor. They don't really care if the 7-Eleven's closed or McDonald's are shut down.
This was a fantastic place. We did a local tour. We just hopped off the ship and a cab driver said to four of us, do you want to do a tour?
Mm.
And so we did. And, look, he was so entertaining, but he had the worst historical information. He was just hilarious, but kept asking him questions. We went up to a fort. It's a 15th century fort.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, it's not a fort, it was a factory. And he was showing us these pits where he said there was ingenious machinery here where they did all sorts of things, and then they laid out the crops and dried them in another pit. And I kept asking, what were they drying? But he wouldn't tell me. He couldn't tell me.
Coconut or something, wouldn't it?
I don't know, because he wouldn't tell me.
Oh, secret.
I was thinking it was drugs, but it was fascinating. It was a fort because there were holes in the windows where cannons used to be, and there were lookouts all over the place. But it's also, look, this was a famous, it's a famous place for slaves. It was where
they loaded slaves, up the slaves and sent them off to the Americas. Yeah.
Slave trading was a huge thing, but they don't like to talk about it.
No.
But especially this particular guide, he was trying to tell us, we could see where the housing was for slaves, and he was trying to tell us that they were actually very happy to be slaves.
Well,
and maybe. I said, "Did I? How?" And he couldn't tell us, but it was part of a touristy spiel that was very entertaining. But I don't know whether a word of it was true. But it was very fun.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah. That sounds good. I guess you can't just replicate some of the things you're told as a journo. You need another source, don't you, sometimes?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Where else did we go? We went to the top of Mount Montverde, which was just amazing road that had to zigzag back and forth because it was so steep. And also it was all cobblestones.
Right.
But it was amazing. Went to the top and you could see where there was terraces all up the side of this volcano. Now, they've been in drought for 5 years.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing growing there at all. But people still live in these little hovels up the side. It was really fascinating place.
Are they growing crops in the volcanic soil, are they?
They would have been.
Subsistence agriculture or whatever.
Yes. And at the top, he said they grew tea.
Okay. Must be high.
Very, very high.
Out of the heat of the day.
Yeah.
I think tea needs cool nights and things.
And it was there was a little tea stop up there. So all the cruise ship tours ended at Montverde.
Okay.
And so we actually got a huge bargain with our tour, apart from the fact that I don't think the information was correct. Yeah. But it was great fun, really, really good fun.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah. And there was only...
Where'd you go then?
Two more, a day at sea, and then we had Las Palmas, Gran Canaria, or Gran Canaria, they call it, and the last place was Santa Cruz in Tenerife. So these two islands were part of the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
And they are owned by Spain.
Okay.
So they were beautiful. Suddenly you're in large cities. And in Las Palmas, we hopped on a hop-on-hop-off bus.
Oh.
Big fan of those buses.
Yeah, I am too. They're great.
They are good. If you've got limited time, it's a really good way to
see them. Yeah.
So we did the usual where we went around the whole loop and then we got off at the old area in the old town. And there was, you know, 16th century cathedrals and Columbus House, so where he stayed.
Oh.
And there was it was amazing. There was a museum there, but we went to go in and other tourists told us, don't worry, don't bother because there's nothing in English. So it was enough for us to see, you know, where Columbus had.
Can't you point your phone at signs and get them translated now?
Oh, you probably could, but I don't know if I'd want it.
I think it's an app. I think it's a thing.
You can get Google Translate, but I don't know that you'd want to do that through a whole museum.
No, you may not.
But Santa Cruz in Tenerife, beautiful. Another big city, and we had friends who actually flew down from mainland Spain to meet us, and they've got it was so lovely from Britain. So they're Brits who now live in Spain. And so we were catching buses and trams like the locals.
Oh, and fantastic.
It was really good fun. And once we were on there, you realised anyone could do it.
Tell me, apart from your lobster, which was clearly a treat, what would you say is the best meal you had?
Well, the lobster.
That's all you could say. You've obviously went back more than once.
Yes, we had quite a few nights there. Look, they did a really good job of tailoring the menu to where we were going.
Okay.
So there was Spanish influence in the last couple of days. There was all sorts of specialty meals. We did get a night up in it's called Red Ginger, one of the specialty restaurants. And that was pretty spectacular. That was Asian fusion type meals. Seafood was the best thing on the menu. So Oceania prides itself on having great cuisine. They say the best cuisine at sea.
Graham Kemlow there with Carolyn Jasinski on board Oceania Serena, a small cruise ship of just 600 passengers. For more information, look up oceaniacruises.com.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.